Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Satterton's podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Thanks for coming out on this blustery morning. Just a quick note from worship. Thank you so much for going to those deep places with us. Don't check out. Stay involved. I was not trying to rock that song. You might have heard a lot of distortion. That wasn't Bob trying to rock worship. That was the batteries in my guitar going dead. So keep in mind, you know, we had years and years ago, a man came up to me and he said, "Hey, just so you know, we do rock and roll worship here." And I was like, "Just so you know, I don't know how to do that." So, you know, it was good. He got over it at one point. I was like, "Pray for me, brother, because I'd love to learn, but I don't know." Hey, Operation Christmas Child, if you've brought it today, you're too late. You have to find your own place to drop it off. But guess what? We did 21 boxes.
Oh my goodness.
And so for a church of our size, we keep doing more than is expected and making a difference. I saw the most amazing article. You should look it up if you want a really good laugh about Operation Christmas Child. It was somebody letting everybody know that there would be a gospel presentation when those gifts were given. And they were doing it from the standpoint of how horrible that was and how we were being so secretive. So it was pretty awesome read, got me giggling, got me laughing, because there's no secret there. Those kids will be presented with gifts, things they've never had or can't get. They'll be blessed, and then they'll be told that someone gave them that gift because of Jesus. So it's an awesome thing that you guys did. So good job, everybody. So you might smell food cooking that may have enhanced your worship experience. Bob and I were talking about, instead of fog machines, we want to get Baconators that put bacon smell in the air. But it would, you know, we might get every neighborhood dog here too. But anyway, so there's a meal after the service. Everyone is welcome to stay, whether you brought something or not. There's always plenty. And if we're still here around 1 o'clock, I will turn the game on. So there's no need to rush home. You can hang out, watch the game here. And, you know, you never know what you're going to see on one of those games anymore. So anyway, if you need prayer for anything after service, if you'd like to be prayed for or like to do some praying, head on over to the prayer room. It's right over here. If you're visiting with us today, if you're new, we have these little contact cards. Now listen, we don't contact you unless you want us to contact you. So we'd love for you to fill one of these out. They're back in the back. It's your name, email, and phone. We do it probably every 3 to 5 weeks, just an email with the stuff going on here. And then we send text reminders. That's basically all we do with text. Like, most of you got a text reminder that said, "Hey, we're having a meal today," a few days ago. So we remember. Also, we're getting into that season. Thank God we don't live in Buffalo. Where you might get a text that says, "Hey, you might want to stay home today because no one else is going to be here." You know, so if you're not getting those texts or you're visiting and you'd like to be on those lists, go ahead and sign up. Hey, we're in the middle, towards the end now, Psalms in November. We've been reading the Bible together. We started with John in July more than a year ago. Some of you guys, even though you're not keeping full pace with us, have still read more of the Bible than you have ever in your life. You're in the Word. So Psalms in November is one of the easiest ones. You pick out a psalm every day, pray it, sing it, worship with it, whatever you want to do. And then just get into those psalms. Psalms are the basis for all worship. That one song we sang today, I stole all those lyrics from Psalm 34. I took those concepts and those words, put them in order to music. David wrote the best songs anyway, and he's not around to sue me, so we're good. Not that he would anyway. So there's this. There's a rumor that we're going to be Christmas caroling. It's in the planning phase. If you would want to participate in that, see Tiffany. Don't see me. See Tiffany. Christmas caroling. So don't watch the football game. Go with Christmas caroling.
Is there a date?
No, it's in the planning phase.
There's a tentative date, but we're waiting to hear his interest to make sure it works.
Yeah, so we're working on that. Gap Ministry is starting a new collection. You guys did good with the Operation Christmas Child boxes. It's going to be for Keystone Opportunity Center. The biggest needs they have right now, everybody's listening, chunky soup, meals in a can, ravioli, beef stew, chili, tuna, canned meat, rice, and saltines. Those are the things they're asking for. So you want to bring those things in. We'll get that to you in print. We'll get that up on that there, internet, social media. Maybe I'll text you about it. Chunky soup, meals in a can, tuna, canned meat, ravioli, beef stew, chili, rice, saltines. Keystone Opportunity Center. Spam. We took a youth group to Canada, and we couldn't get food, so we fed them spam. And we told them it was Canadian ham, and they went with it. Well, we were in Canada, and it was ham. All those little girls wouldn't have eaten it if we weren't like, oh, it's... Because that was the only thing we could really get. We got eggs and spam, because we were way up there.
Cam?
Canadian ham. So I should sue someone, because I made that up. Yeah, we were out in the middle of nowhere. Yeah, World War II rations. All right. So I'm gonna pray over the service, then I'm gonna dismiss the kids, and then we'll talk about the offering. But if you brought something to give, go ahead and hold it in your hand. We don't pray past the plate here. The plate's in the back, and you just put it in whenever it's convenient for you. But we do want to pray over it. So Father, we thank you for those that sow into this place. Lord, we pray for wisdom to use these finances. We pray for divine opportunities to change this community with the funds that are sown into this place. We thank you, Lord, that you're able to meet every need and that sometimes you use us to do that, that you would speak to us about how to give and when to sow and what to do with these funds. Lord, we pray that you would bless the givers right now in Jesus' name, that you would bring about the things that you've put in their heart, that you would move in their lives in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, guys, so we're doing this new thing called Kids Church. What is this, week four. All right, so it's a divine experiment. It's in the experimental stage. So that means things might not always go right, but they've been going right so far. So what we're going to be doing is we have Kids Church in the sunroom for ages K through 5th. All right, we also have a class for preschool age children in the preschool room. It's a new experiment. I already mentioned that. Remember, the idea is that the whole church community partner with parents so that we have kids that grow up and love Jesus as adults. All right, so it's more than just watching someone. You're going to share your life with these kids and your relationship with Jesus with these kids and see them grow up to be mighty, powerful adults that love Jesus. So that said, we're building a team of volunteers. If you want to serve in the children's ministry, if you can help in any way, you're going to let Donna know. Good? All right. So I'm going to invite Kedron up. Kedron's going to be sharing.
Hi. How are you today? It's cold. I don't like cold, just for the record. So I'm going to start with prayer. Lord, I just thank you so much for this time that I get to share, and I just thank you for the privilege and the honor. Lord, I just ask that you would guide every single word that comes from my mouth. Just make it plain, make it clear. Allow these amazing people to receive whatever they are meant to receive today, even if it is just one nugget for themselves that they can carry with them. I just thank you so much for this time we get to share together, and I just ask that you bless my mouth. Thank you, God. In your name, amen. Okay, so I've been made accustomed to ask, do I have permission to speak to your hearts today? Thank you. So today we are going to talk about one of my favoritest psalms of all time, which is Psalm 27. And, you know, this month, as Matt said, we're reading through Psalm. We're taking our time to just kind of absorb. But this is one of my favorites because there's so many pieces in this that we can pull from, which is why I gave you the warning about rabbit trailing. So it's a possibility. So just try to follow me as best you can. What I would love for you to do is just grab a nugget from this. Just grab a nugget. Whatever resonates with you the most is what I would love to see you press into today. So here is what I love about this psalm, is that David is super raw in this. If you take a second to actually go through and read it, really like phrase by phrase, he's just not afraid at all to shout out to God, to be angry, to be real, to express this kind of wide array of emotions. And in the time that David wrote this particular passage, it's believed that it was likely written during a time of war. So David, of course, has seen lots of horrendous things, horrendous happenings, probably things that we can't even fathom seeing, and probably had some sort of, I'm sure, PTSD or something of the sort of just witnessing all of this war. So as we go over this today, I want to touch on a few key sections in the psalm so that we can understand the keys to partnering with the Lord. And the title of this teaching today is Partnership in Praise, because partnership is everything. So I want to start with verse 4. And I'm actually reading from the Passion Translation. Now, I have picked this apart in every single version there is because I'm a nerd like that. But I am loving the Passion Translation lately. So maybe a little bit different than what you have in front of you, and that's okay. But I'm just going to go ahead and read from that translation. Here's the one thing I crave from Yahweh, the one thing I seek above all else. I want to live with him every moment in his house, beholding the marvelous beauty of Yahweh, filled with awe, delighting in his glory and grace. I want to contemplate in his temple. So here's the first point that I'm going to talk about today. And that point is, don't seek false refuge in fear. Now, that may sound kind of ridiculous, but let me just explain. So stay with me, truck with me a little bit on this. So you think to yourself, why would anyone seek refuge in fear? Like, that doesn't even make sense. But, you know, David wanted one thing. He wanted to be with the Lord. And it's so funny because I never caught how much the Bible actually uses the word with. And now, just because I said that, you're going to probably catch it more. But I've learned that there's that with word. It's reflective of that partnership, right? So I just love that. So just kind of tuck that away in there and think about that later. But I want to talk about how he says to contemplate in his temple. Now, at that time, there really weren't temples. It said there was no temples at that time. So it's interesting that he used that word. But the bottom line is that David wanted total entanglement, total unity with the Lord, because he knew that the partnership with the Lord was the thing that filled him and fueled him and kept his thoughts properly in tune with the Lord. So it's so easy to seek refuge in other things, isn't it? Do you know that we so often place refuge in fear? And again, sounds totally ridiculous, but hear me out. Fear, while we don't like it, gets actually super comfortable. And the difference in facing fear and sitting in fear is that one requires you to move and the other gives you permission to stay still. So I'm going to say that phrase again because it's really powerful. The difference in facing fear and sitting in fear is that one requires you to move and the other gives you permission to stay still. Facing fear means you take action against it, refusing to partner with it, and you do something to move through it. So taking refuge in fear actually means you kind of play with it, maybe take it out on a date, maybe even make a commitment to it, give it a little promise ring, you know. It sounds funny, but it's true. We do this all the time, and we don't realize that we do this. But here's the thing, it's never going to give you what you need or fill you the way you want to be filled or the way you need to be filled. Fear is essentially partnering with a false refuge. But when we partner with praise, then things start to shift. When we praise him, the atmosphere shifts, the world cries out for it. In Romans 8:19, it says, talks about how creation, all of creation, waits for the manifestation of the kings and queens of God to take our place. It's groaning for us to shift that atmosphere. The best defense against partnering with a false refuge or partnering with fear is praise. Within that praise, you automatically partner with the Lord and speak life into the atmosphere. That partnership crowds out the fear until there's no longer room for it. It's kind of like, because of the background I have in health coaching, you know, I used to always tell people, like, when you want to make a change, you add in what's good, you crowd out what's bad, right? So when you start adding in good food, you automatically start to crowd out what's bad, right? Because you're adding in more apples, bananas, whatever, you're adding in good stuff, there's not enough room for the other stuff to fit there. So it's the same kind of concept that you are adding in praise, you're adding in worship, and that actually crowds out the fear. It's also kind of like hearing a song, you know, with a catchy beat. You kind of like, you know, like today, you hear the music, you get engulfed in it. Your body starts to sway, and you feel it in your bones. You feel it in your heart. You feel it in your soul, and it starts to permeate into your body. So when I feel stuck, worried, confused, one of my best defenses is listening to praise music. In fact, I have a little, like, set of songs. It's like the Pull Me Out of the Darkness songs that I just put on when I don't feel right. And the words alone, just singing out the words, can change your mindset. It can change the atmosphere around you. It changes. Like, we were created to have dominion. Earth is supposed to bend to our words. So we speaking that out actually influences the whole area around us. It helps us enact that power and authority that he's given to us just by him creating us. So it helps me really realign myself with Christ. We are renewed beings. We have the mind of Christ already. So how do we partner with that? How do we align with that? Is by speaking it out. So that's a huge, huge deal to speak it out loud and bring that to life into the atmosphere. Number two is flip your doubt into truth. Now, I love how in verses 8 to 10, it encompasses David's expression of doubt and what he does to counter it. It's literally like he's going back and forth, you know, this almost like outward kind of battle of words in what he says. So I'm going to read this again, Passion Translation. I heard your voice in my heart say, come, seek my face. My inner being responded, Yahweh, I'm seeking your face with all my heart, so don't turn your face away from me. You're the God of my salvation. How can you reject your servant in anger? You've been my only hope. So don't forsake me now when I need you. My father and mother abandoned me, but you, Yahweh, took me in and made me yours. Now, if you really break that apart in phrases, you hear him like, but don't reject me. But, you know, he's kind of going back and forth. So he is, number one, God can take our messed up, like, all over the place feelings. He can handle all of that. He can take it. He can deal with it. He wants you. He would rather you express that out to him than just be quiet and withdraw. He wants that intimacy with you. He wants you to talk it out and process it. So he's actually, David. When David cries out, he's actually speaking a lie. He's crying out and saying, this is what my doubt looks like, God. And then he's countering it with the truth. Because he's coming right back and saying, you know, don't forsake me now when I need you. My mother and my father abandoned me, but you took me in and made me yours. So he's actually saying the lie that's going on in his head, but then he's coming right back and he's countering it with the truth and he's speaking it out. So he's actually helping himself process it through by saying these things out loud. Love that. So this goes back again to the beauty of, you know, music and the words of praise within them, like we experience today. I mean, beautiful, beautiful worship time, just amazing. And I just love how these words can just pull us right back into the perfect frame of mind that we need to be in. And when we sing out loud these songs, we're declaring truth. We are, lots of wind. I heard banging, tapping. So we declare the truth. We're partnering with it on a really deep soul and spirit level. It permeates into our body. It brings the unity of body, soul, and spirit so that our entire being is totally engulfed in the love and the truth of the Father. I can't think of a better way to counter or conquer fear and doubt. When we speak with our words, we can also turn the doubtful thoughts and statements. So even beyond just praise music, you know, it happens with our words too, with what we just speak out. We can turn those doubtful thoughts and statements into speaking aloud what's true. Do we know what's true about God and what he's done? Maybe it's even as much as maybe you're feeling like you're struggling with it. And one thing that I like to do is try to say to myself, has God ever let me down before? Ever? Anybody? Nope. He doesn't let us down. We may feel disappointed in something not working out or whatever, but isn't it true that we always end up looking back on it and going, I get that now. Like, we always, in hindsight, we always get it. We always figure it out. We always know that it's for our best good. And what's amazing about that is that when we look back and see what he's already done, there is no way we can't come up with a reason to praise him. There's always a reason to praise him. And so it's really important that we speak that into the atmosphere. So it's not about just praise music. It's about our words. It's, you know, and what was it, a month ago or so, we did the affirmations. Maybe it was 2 months ago. We did all those affirmations. And those are positive truths that we are speaking out loud that reinforce the truth and make the atmosphere change and shift around us. And it causes our body, our soul, our spirit to come into alignment with the Father. The third thing is being willing to be persistent. I am not a patient person. So I like to say, forget it. I'm tired of this. It's not working. And walk away. Or you just kind of like, never mind, I'm just gonna, like I said to Tiffany the other day, I'm just gonna go eat a cupcake because that'll just make everything better. And that's what we do. We kind of just run away from it because it's hard. We have to face it, right? We have to be persistent. And, you know, but when we stop seeking is when we usually start hurting because we're not looking for him. We're looking for all the bad stuff that's happening. So in verse 11, David says, now teach me, Yahweh, about all your ways and tell me what to do. Make it clear for me to understand, for I am surrounded by waiting enemies. Now, we aren't exactly surrounded by waiting enemies per se, but in this day and age, enemies look a little different than what they did back then. You know, our enemies might look like something like food addiction. Funny I say that on this fellowship Sunday. Worry, fear, social media, comparison, anger, bitterness. Those are enemies of ours that like to suck us in and create fear and doubt. So these things are just as huge as any physical enemy could ever be. But if we're willing to stop and hear what God has for us, focusing on truth, continuing to seek him, just like it says, Matthew 7, where ask, seek, knock on the door. To be persistent in seeking him does result in clarity and answers because God does not operate in confusion. He operates in clarity. Doubt and fear result in confusion. I don't know about you guys, but I have never, ever, ever met a person filled with fear that has tons and tons of clarity or joy. Usually people who are filled with fear are very confused, concerned, just have lots going on, and they feel unclear. And they also lack joy. And you know, it's important that we notice those things and focus on what's true. Because when we focus on that truth, the clarity comes with it, the joy comes with that also. Amen. So that persistence, even though it may not happen overnight, it pays off, that persistence, that continual seeking him. So here's where I go in the rabbit trail mode. Okay, so pause there. Hold all that stuff over here. Because I have a couple other things that I really felt like super led to share. And this is not what people talk about a lot, but I like to talk about the how. How do we do this stuff? How do we make it happen and bring it to life? Because, you know, I can stand here and talk at you until I'm blue in the face, but if I'm not telling you how, then that's not really helpful. You know, it's just like, you should do this. Hey, Keith, do this. You know, I could do that all day, but, and I would enjoy it actually, but, anyway, yeah, so, you know, it's one of those things where I want to talk with you and help you with the how. So these points are what God brought to my mind to share with you. They're kind of like sub-points, okay? And there's just two of them. And this is kind of a way how to, like, defeat the fear and partner with praise. One is stay curious. And as a coach, this is my favorite thing, is to stay curious. I love to ask lots of questions because it helps you understand better. While you may not understand everything, that curiosity is what the Lord loves. He loves your curiosity. He wants you to bring him the questions. He wants you to look to him for the answers. He wants you to take it to him to figure it out because he does have all the answers. And just like I said, Matthew 7 states, seek, ask, knock, and it will be given to you. That clarity will come. And realize you're a solution carrier. You have solutions to solve these problems. You want to know why? Because God made you that way. He made you to have dominion. He made you with power and authority through him to bring these solutions to the earth. So unless we're thinking that we don't have solutions to, I can't figure this out. I don't know what to do. And we do. I feel like that a lot. But I'm just being real. But here's the thing. If we understand and remember that God created us for the purpose of intimacy and to bring solutions to this world, go. Share with the world. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Sharing. Giving those solutions away so that other people can learn from what you've got or what you've been through. So those two things together, asking the hard questions, knowing and realizing that you have the solutions, are like the perfect partnership to walking in your identity and partnering with God so that you can get rid of those fears. So here's what that might look like. Here's a tangible way to give an example of what that might look like. Tiffany, you're going to laugh. So, okay, God, I have this issue around money. I don't know what I'm doing. No one ever taught me how to budget or handle money appropriately. So that's my fear, right? My fear is like, I don't know what I'm doing. I have no idea how to handle this problem, blah, 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 blah. And then what I do is I ask myself a question. Well, why is that? Why do I feel like that? What's the reason for that? And when you ask the question, ask it with the idea that you already have the solution available to you, because you do. So when you ask the question, like for me, I was like, okay, well, I was never really raised. I was never taught like how to handle it. I was never taught how to manage it, how to budget, how to take care of things. I was never taught it. Not that it's anybody's fault, not blaming anyone. It was just something that happened. So how can I solve this problem? Well, I can get help from somebody that I trust and learn how, so that I can begin to reframe my experiences around money so that I'm no longer afraid of it, right? So I already have the solution in my brain. I already have it there because God put it there, right? And because I asked the questions, I found what needed to happen to create the solution. Does it suck? Yup. A whole lot. It stinks. Nobody wants to deal with stuff like that. And that's just one example of probably many, you know, out there for all of you, that you all have something that you're like, oh my God, this is happening. But we do have solutions within us because God put them there. He already made us with that within us. So in that, you know, that is the best way actually to also plant the seed in someone else's heart, is to ask more questions. So when you feel confused by someone's behavior or you don't understand something, just ask questions. Hey, what's going on? You don't seem quite right today. Are you okay? What's happening? How are you feeling? What's going on in your world? Just ask more questions. Why do we not anyway, rabbit trail. I'll go, that's a whole other teaching for another day. But I love that asking questions can bring so much clarity. You know, not that we're meant to understand every little thing about every single person. Sometimes we're not going to understand. But asking questions helps us learn how to have compassion and empathy and just get a grasp of what they're going through so we can sit with them in it. There's that word with again, that partnership. That's how you sit with someone when you don't even understand what they're going through, but you choose to ask them questions so you can be with them. Okay, rabbit trail over. Let's go back now to the fourth and final point that I have for you. And that is the last verse. I'm going to read this. I can't write this down, so I'm going to read it. So I love the last verse of this psalm. And I love all the versions. In fact, I'm slightly partial to the King James Version, but today I'm going to read the Passion Translation because that's what I have in front of me. Here's what I've learned through it all. Don't give up. Don't be impatient. Be entwined as one with the Lord. Be brave and courageous and never lose hope. Yes, keep on waiting, for he will never disappoint you. And I love that. Now, in the King James Version, the first part actually says, wait on the Lord. Okay, and so a while back, I've read this passage a million times, but a while back I was reading it, and I was like, what in the world does wait on the Lord even mean? Like, what does that mean? Are we just sitting around waiting for him to give us a silver platter and fix it all? Like, what does that mean? So I did some research, and I discovered that that phrase, wait on, actually means to rest in expectation. And I just love that phrase, rest in expectation. So what that means is that we are to remain calm in the knowing that he's got it all under control. A couple weeks ago, you know, we talked about the refining process of Esther and the way that the Lord weaves so many pieces together for her to become queen, to have that unmatched favor of the king. God is always weaving, working, entangling things together for our good. And, you know, throughout this out loud process in this psalm, David came to the conclusion after this kind of back and forth, you know, like, I don't like this, but I know you're going to save me, and like this whole thing. David came to these conclusions of don't give up, keep waiting, resting, knowing that God has got it all under control. He's never going to disappoint us, and he always works everything out for our highest good, even when it doesn't look that way. So I'm going to share one more passage. It's not Psalms, but it's one of my favorite passages. I've probably referenced it before even, but I'm going to read it to you. And it's 2 Peter 1, 3, and 4. Everything we could ever need for life and godliness has already been deposited in us by his divine power. For all that was lavished upon us through the rich experience of knowing him, who has called us by name and invited us to come to him through a glorious manifestation of his goodness. As a result of this, he has given you magnificent promises that are beyond all price, so that through the power of these tremendous promises, we can experience partnership with the divine nature by which you have escaped the corrupt desires that are of the world. Now, that kind of partnership does not sound like an angry God that we can't access, does it? Sounds pretty good to me. It sounds like a friend, a teammate, a co-laborer. And I was thinking about how I would present the idea of partnership to you today, and it got me thinking about communion and the way that Jesus partnered with the disciples at the Last Supper. And, you know, it's kind of funny because when I think about that, I think about how, you know, they really didn't have any idea that he was partnering with them. They were just kind of like, oh, this is a great meal. You know, like they just didn't get it. But he did. And here's what's so cool is that how often do we have the table already set and all he wants us to do is just sit down. Just sit down and be with him. And we're so busy doing all this other stuff, being all wackadoodle afraid and, you know, just trying to control stuff or, you know, whatever, that we just forget that, like, all he wants to do is just have a meal with us. Just sit down and be with me. And that's what that partnership looks like. It really is that easy. And we make it all kinds of hard. And I just think it's so interesting that we operate like we don't know who he is. We operate like we don't know what he has to offer. We operate like that seat isn't there for us. Like we have to reach up and grab him. And that's not at all what we have to do. He is literally like right in front of us. And all we have to do is take it. We don't have to reach up. We don't have to do stuff to prove our value. He already made us valuable or we wouldn't be here. He already created us that way. He already experienced us before we were even formed. So that's got to say something. Like, he picked your hair color. He picked your eye color. He picked your skin tone. He picked every single thing about you. And yet, we're, can I just get a piece of the Lord? Nope. He's already right here. In fact, he's got a table. Got a little throne that you can sit there next to him at his throne. All of it's right there. So it's really about reaching out for him, not up. You don't have to reach up because he's already there. So it's kind of funny the way things worked out today because I had sent an email to Matt, I guess it was yesterday morning. I was like, hey, can we like do communion today or something like that? And he's like, well, that's funny because I was going to do, what is that song called, Come to the Table? And I was like, perfect. So we are going to do that today. Communion is for those who have received Jesus. And if you do not know what that means, then please talk to me after. I would love to show you. If you have received Jesus into your heart, I will invite you to join us for some time of communion. I'm going to go ahead and walk over here and I'm going to undo the lids and you can get up. We're going to just have a really beautiful, quiet time because the Lord wants us to sit with him. So we're going to partner with him. We're going to remember. Matt's going to play a little music and I'll just kind of pray over us as we are, you know, going ahead and doing that. I will lead us through it. And so I'm going to open this.
Matt, can we get you?
No, I'll do it after.
So feel free to come up and take your bread and your wine.
And don't feel pressured, you know, if you want to. This has to be Holy Spirit led for you. So if you feel that you want to have that communion with him, please feel free. And just take that time to get quiet with the Lord. And you know, it's okay to, like, God can take our hard stuff, right? He can take all the hard stuff that we're going through, and he can bring us the comfort that we need in that. So I just encourage you to take your time. Maybe close your eyes if you feel led and just relax and let him speak to you. And enjoy that time sitting with him at the table. Take some nice deep breaths. And just remember who he is. Remember your access to him. The way he experienced you. And the way that he loves you. He created you with solutions. He created you so lovingly. And all he wants is for you to partner with him. To receive him. To remember and understand what he did for you. So first, I just want to take a moment to think about the way that Jesus was crucified. And you know, it was a very sad event, incredibly heartbreaking. But only God could take such a heartbreaking moment and turn it into the most amazing victory story ever. We have victory already because He gave Himself for us. We are already redeemed. So I want you to just think about His body and the selflessness, the sacrifice of what He did for us on that cross. But with that also, that understanding that He was raised again. He lives today. So not only do we remember that time on the cross where He was battered and bruised and broken, but we also celebrate that redemption, that victory in Him being raised again. Thank you, God. Feel free to take now of the bread. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. And as we think now about the blood that he shed for us, I think about that phrase, you know, by His stripes we are healed. And it's so true. The shedding of His blood exemplified the love and the victory that we already have because of Him. And I often also think about the way that surely His blood dripped to the ground, redeeming the whole earth and all that was in it, all the people that would ever be on it. And the bittersweet beauty of that moment by His stripes, we are healed. So powerful. Just sink, let that sink in for a minute. Thank you, God. So when you're ready, go ahead and drink the wine in remembrance of Him. I just thank You so much for inviting us to be with You. Help us to always remember that You are always inviting us, that we don't have to reach up for You because You are already right in front of us. You already have given us endless, limitless access to You. We don't have to prove our value because You've already redeemed us. All we have to do is let You in, to sit with You, to be intimate with You, and to let You love us. Sometimes that's even the hardest part, is just letting Him love us. So we just thank You, God, for opening our hearts today, for allowing that love of Yours to come in and infiltrate us, to permeate through our body, our soul, and our spirit. We thank You for always giving us a reason to praise You. We thank You for the love You've given to us. We thank You for the blood You shed, for Your broken body that redeemed us all. We just praise Your name, God. We thank You so much for Your partnership with us. In Your name, amen.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania. I'm taking the well, I'm taking the well right here. I'm taking the